because of the temptation that inundates the believers, every man should enjoy the physical intimacy with his wife, is what Paul is saying. And every woman should enjoy physical intimacy with her husband. It's interesting when you look at these verse 2, 3, and 4, there are three sets of balanced pairs which show the pleasure and the duty of physical intimacy. Look in verse 2. Each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. That's pair number 1. Number 2, in verse 3, the husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. And the third one in verse 4 says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. I think that Paul is expounding on the one flesh concept that he brought up in the previous chapter, in chapter 6, verse 16, which is not anything new because the Lord brought that up in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where he said, for this reason a man shall leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This shows the need for mutual submission. Many people, sadly, look at marriage the same way they look at church. And that is, what's in it for me? And I want to say right now, and I want to caution you, that this area can be abused. Verse 3 and verse 4 does not give someone ammunition to say, you gotta, because God's word says so. It can be abused. That is not what this is talking about. This is talking about mutual love and mutual submission. How does God want us to look at marriage in the church? How can I serve my spouse? How can I serve the body of Christ, the church? It's not about me. It's about service. Both the husband and the wife are to put the interest of their spouse ahead of themselves. And the word interest means the pleasure derived from physical intimacy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. The word suitable for him, this phrase indicates that she has everything that God had invested in him. It's just 6 verses later that God says he makes them one flesh. There is an emphasis on mutuality. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. I love how God in his word, on these delicate, sensitive subjects, how he words things to get the point across in doing it such a nice way. Should your springs overflow into the street? This is Solomon giving his son advice, and he says, should your springs overflow into the street, streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Like a loving doe and a graceful mountain goat. Emphasis on graceful, less on the goat. Like a loving doe and a graceful mountain goat, let her breast satisfy you all times. Here's the sweet part. Listen to this. Be exhilarated always with her love. I've done pre-marriage counseling. And when we get to talking about physical intimacy of marriage, I try to encourage the couple. Because up to this point, all they've ever heard is, wait, not now, hold off, later, you'll never be sorry for waiting. Which is true. It is very true. You will never be sorry for waiting. And then I bring out the point that after you're married, God will give you the best wedding present ever. Yeah, people are going to give you all kinds of things. Might be money. It might be a strainer for your kitchen. It might be Tupperware. Do they even do that anymore? Rubbermaid, whatever it is. But God is going to give you the best present. It's the gift of physical intimacy. Cherish it. Enjoy it. Always be exhilarated with each other's love. It's an amazing thing. I want to talk about something called, I call married, spirit-filled physical intimacy. This is not original with me, but I want to share it with you this morning. 7 points to this. Number one, Christians should enjoy regular physical intimacy. The norm is that Christians will marry and that as a Christian couple, the husband and wife will enjoy regular physical intimacy. Number two, a life of healthy physical intimacy is a preventative for immorality. It's not a guarantee. You can look at David. David had lots of options in this area, but yet he had lust. And he chose to sin and commit adultery with Bathsheba. But generally speaking, a life of healthy physical intimacy is a preventative for immorality. Number three, duty to God and to their spouse. Both the husband and the wife should eagerly engage in physical intimacy as their duty, both to God and to their spouse. Physical intimacy was ordained by God. God is interested in the physical intimacy of your marriage. It truthfully is a shocking thought. Maybe if we haven't thought about that before, it's like we close the bedroom door. But God is interested in this area. He is the one who ordained it. Number four, ultimate pleasure for their spouse. Both the husband and wife should seek to produce the ultimate pleasure for their spouse. It's the serving part that we spoke of before. Number five, don't deprive their spouse of physical intimacy. Neither the husband nor the wife have the authority to deprive their spouse of physical intimacy. This area is not meant as a trump card. It is not to be used as manipulation or for manipulation. Neither the husband nor the wife have the authority to deprive their spouse of this. Number six, stop withholding physical intimacy. Those Christians who have been withholding physical intimacy are commanded to stop sinning in this way. And number seven, when to abstain from physical intimacy. Abstaining from physical intimacy is to be rare. It's to be agreed upon and temporary, and a temporary exception to the norm of regular time together. Scripture says to come back together so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. We go on to verse 6. In verse 6, Paul says, he isn't commanding them to do this, to abstain like this. But he is granting them the option to abstain if the conditions are met. And here's the conditions. We'll go over them again. It is in agreement. It is for a time, a temporary time. And it's for something important. And he lists prayer here. And then you come back together. Before I conclude, I want to bring up a very difficult subject, but I want to bring it out. If you have experienced sexual abuse in the past, it might seem impossible to enjoy this area of marriage, to be able to function as God would have you to. But I would like to encourage you to pray and to ask God to redeem this for you. Think of our theme verse. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful. God is faithful to redeem because he's the one who ordained this. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. In conclusion, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. For the single, that is correct. They can serve the Lord without distraction. They can serve the Lord with more focus. But for the married, it is totally wrong. Husbands and wives are to enjoy God's gift of physical intimacy in marriage. As I said there in Proverbs, always be exhilarated with each other's love. Let's bow for a word of prayer.